You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, February 19th, 2025. 3 days until the Brewers' first spring training game. 36 days till the season opener. It's another beautiful day. It's another cold, cold day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the app or on social media or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Did you ever think your morning was off to a great start and then you discovered one little issue that throws the whole thing kittywumpus? Greg Bach is joining us from Radio Park in Racine. Moments before the show opened, I go, as I typically do, creature of habit, to reach for my mug of coffee. Lovely mug of coffee. It's got pictures of all my grandkids on there. It's a wonderful thing.
They're adorable.
I take that first sip and just about choke, realizing I didn't set it on. Remember, how much have I bragged about this little hot plate that I've got here that keeps my coffee hot? Then realize that in my uncoffeed state, I set it on the coaster next to it instead of the actual hot plate. So I'm drinking, that coffee's been sitting there for a half hour and it's cold. I'm starting the day with cold coffee, Greg. I can't work under these conditions. Take the show.
I'm out of here. Bye.
I'm starting with cold coffee too, man. Just get over it. It's fine. You're fine.
it was a very over dramatic situation of what for less than a split second going, oh man. But instead I turned it into a 2 minute bit, which is funny because we've got a really packed show. I don't have time to be wasting this.
But I really like the fact that all it took for me to get my own show from you was cold coffee.
I was expecting a nice piping hot coffee and you get the, oh, you put it in the wrong place. Oh, well. So, Greg is once again in the tropical hotspot of Wisconsin right now with a temperature of 1 degree above zero.
And I'm not sharing it with anybody.
He's not sharing that 1 degree. Go get one from Milwaukee. They've got 1 degree as well. Everybody else is out of degrees. It's 9 below here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward, the current temperature right now is 20 below zero. I'm so tired of this. I'm just ready to be done. Amory, you're at 12 below. Wausau, 9 below. Wisconsin Rapids, 16 below. In La Crosse, it's minus 6. Green Bay, minus 4. Madison, 3 degrees below zero right now. Let's see. From Brittany Merlot, she says, an extreme cold warning is in effect for the far northwestern counties, Douglas, Burnett, Washburn, Barron, Polk, with wind chills of about 35 below zero right now. There is a cold weather advisory in effect until 9 a.m. for the rest of the western and southern parts of Wisconsin with wind chills of 20 to 30 below. She says we'll start to climb out of the cold as soon as tomorrow with a spring-like surprise at the end of the weekend. I hope you're right, Brittany. Oh, my God, I hope you're right. For the state forecast for today, partly cloudy in the south, mostly cloudy in the north with some light snow showers possible, especially in the afternoon. Low teens everywhere across the state with a northwest wind at 10 to 15. Partly cloudy with scattered light snow showers tonight, mainly in northern and eastern Wisconsin, with lows in the single digits below zero. Again, a northwest wind at 5 to 10. And Brittany will be here live in just under an hour to tell us more about that forecast. I mentioned that it was a busy show today, and is it ever. Now, one guest we won't have, typically at 6:30 on Wednesdays, we talk to Melissa Baldoff. She has our climate check. She is off this week. That's fine. We'll need that to talk about all the other big things going on. Yesterday, there was a primary election in Wisconsin, and Governor Evers delivered his budget address. So we will talk about both of those things. We will talk about some of the things that Elon Musk and Donald Trump have been doing over the past day or so and make sure that we correct the record on those things. So we'll have a little bit of that all coming up this hour, along with Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. She'll be here for today's history lesson. Then it really gets busy in the 7 o'clock hour. First, we will talk to two legislators, both on the Joint Finance Committee. That's the one in the legislature that writes the state budget. We'll talk to Representative Deb Andraca and State Senator LaTanya Johnson, not only about what Governor Evers proposed last night, but also their reaction to the Republican reaction, which probably went about the way that you would expect that it would, but I'll give you details on that coming up in just a couple of minutes here. And then at 7:30, we talk to members of three different groups who watch the state budget carefully every 2 years, because obviously a state budget is way more important than a lot of people appreciate. And I'm not just saying that as a former legislator. I'm saying it as somebody who actually interned for his legislator in high school and got an appreciation early on that a state budget does so much and can have such an impact on people's lives, like education. So we will talk to Heather Dubois-Bourinon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network on efforts that help the general population. We'll talk to David Liners from Wisdom. And in ways that impact how government works or doesn't work in Wisconsin. And we'll talk to Robert Craig from Citizen Action. And they're all going to be telling you reasons why there's something in the state budget for everyone to look at. And either contact your legislator and say, that's great, you should go and get that done, or that's a terrible idea and you should do this instead. That's what democracy is all about, is being able to contact your lawmakers and saying, you know, look, I can't make you do any of these things, but you need to know how I feel. You need to know where my priorities are. And so we'll talk all about that. But first, I'll have a few sound bites here from Governor Evers from last night and his budget address and what he proposed. And you know, see what you think about it as well. Along the way, you can tell us what you think of any of our topics along the way, or bring up your own question or comment on the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app to text us or to call us, or you can put a comment on the Facebook page, or you can put it on the YouTube page for Up North News, the Facebook page for Up North News, or the Facebook page for Civic Media. There is so much to cover that I'm actually going to take care of sports really quick because it's brief. It's just a couple of college basketball games. The 11th-ranked Badger men had no trouble hosting Illinois last night and posting a 95-74 win, giving the Badgers a five-game winning streak. They will next play Saturday, 11 a.m., and they will host Oregon. And, Greg, Oregon or Oregon? And I don't mean the Dane County community, the state of?
Oregon.
Oregon?
You call it Oregon or Oregon?
Yeah, it is literally a thing that I will say both ways and have no idea until it comes out of my mouth. You know?
Yeah, same. That's how I feel about the word.
It's coupon or coupon, you know?
Envelope or envelope.
Or yes. Yeah, there are just some words that you just, I don't know. Sometimes it sounds like soda and sometimes it just falls out as pop.
Okay.
Well, those are different words, but you see what I was
going. All right. Gross.
Wait, what? What's gross?
It's soda. It's all soda. Don't call it pop. Pop is my father. We're fine.
Okay. Well, back at sports. The 16th-ranked Marquette cruised past Seton Hall last night in men's college basketball. They will next play at Villanova on Friday night. So there's a look at sports there at just coming up on 6:15. Right now, and Tony says, I think your topics are great. Greg, I don't know how we resolve this. Here's Tony's next comment. It's pronounced Oregon. And he just writes it out.
I know. Every once in a while, I'll type something like that on Facebook. Like, is it pronounced? And I'll type it. Is it pronounced Caribbean or Caribbean? And for me, that's just hilarious.
I love that, Tony. We're not going to top anything else the rest of the day. He just writes out, it's pronounced Oregon or Oregon. Adam,
or origami. What? Yeah,
Adam writes in on YouTube, being from Oregon or Oregon, this offends me. So, but again, no phonetic pronunciation there, so I don't know.
In Wisconsin, is it pronounced Oregon?
I don't know.
Okay. You have to ask somebody. All right. Because I know that if you go to Oregon and you call it Oregon or anything but Oregon, Oregonians get offended. They get upset. They're like, don't call it that. I'm like, I didn't know.
The one that I don't understand is Wisconsin. Because we say Wisconsin. Now, occasionally we get teased when they say Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But that's not what bugs me. What bugs me is it seems like people in about 47 or 48 other states, instead of it saying W-I-S like it does, they make it W-E-S. They go Wisconsin. I'm like, where's that coming from?
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say Wisconsin.
Oh, I hear it all. Now that's all I'm going to hear
in the next 10. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I will be there to be like, excuse, what'd you call me? What did you call? That's our word. Where do you fall on Scani? Is Scani a that's our word, we can say it, or you can't say it, or do you care?
No, I'm okay with Scani. I think it's okay. Fine. It's all not. Right. I don't take it as any kind of an insult or anything.
Right.
Cassandra writes it on YouTube like milk, M-E-L-K.
Oh no, that is a bridge too far for me. When I hear people say milk, I'm like,
one, people from the South. They love to tease Wisconsinites for the way that we say bag, because apparently the way we just say bag, but to them that sounds like a two-syllable word. Apparently for them it's really quick. It's like bag, and they hear us going bag.
Hey Pat, let me ask them a question. Who won the war? All right.
Wow. Going to extreme. All right, Adam says Oregon, and he puts the A-H in there, on Oregon.
Okay. Good to know. That's one thing about my entire journey here with Civic Media is finding all these places in Wisconsin that I never heard of before. So getting the lay of the land.
Yep, and Tony puts a couple of A's in the word bag.
I put my groceries in the bag. My bag.
I just love that. I hear it. The internet lasts forever, and so someday somebody's going to come to this particular page for this particular show and see milk and Oregon and bag in the comment section, and I don't even know if they'll hit play on the video at this point. They'll just be, they will.
Captain, was this research important for survival? No, that's why they all died out.
Yep, but we did it anyway. The other one that gets me is European cities in the U.S., I'm sure there's a definitive list someplace of the ones where, you know, they say it this way here, but that way over there. And so we're going to have fun with names, but we're up against them. So we'll save that game for another day.
Like New Berlin.
Yeah. Yes.
They don't call it that. They call it New Berlin instead of Berlin.
Yes. Many more to come. Trust me. We like playing those little word games. But we will talk about the governor's budget address and more headlines coming up right after this quick break. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand.
Smokey Robinson has a birthday today, 85 years old, so we will be tipping our hat to a musical legend coming up in today's history lesson in a half hour here on Up North News Radio, 6:21 the time right now. You know what we forgot yesterday, and I've got it marked here at some point. Is you were going to tell a story about Greece, the movie, no, the play, right?
Well, Greece as an entity, as a thing, as they say nowadays, an IP, a brand.
An IP. I like it. Okay. Do we save that for the history lesson too, or do you want to
get I can tell it right now. Yeah, because there's a lot going on in history. So
all right.
What I didn't know, because Greece has been in my life for, you know, my entire life, and I...
Well, it is the word, yeah.
Yeah, also, the word is also, I guess, bird, but what I didn't know about it, after seeing it many times and watching the movie and loving even the sequel, Grease 2, which is an unpopular opinion, the original the very, very original, before Broadway, isn't what we see in the movies. It takes place in Southside Chicago with young, like, kids of Polish descendants. And they the play is very different and very dark.
Really?
Yeah. So there are four versions of Grease. There is the original play that no one will see now. You just don't see that version anymore. There's the Broadway version. There's the movie version, and then there's the high school version, because as we know with Grease to Lightning, kids can't sing that song in high school, but they still sing that version. So there are a bunch of different versions of Grease, but the original was like a gritty musical about kids on South Side of Chicago. Like, it's way, way, way different from sunny California.
Okay. See, for sometimes the first draft isn't the final draft.
Right, exactly. It's like, sometimes, this one's very racist. We should rewrite this.
Yeah, let's work on that. Right, okay. Well, good. Well, I'm glad I finally remembered to ask you about that. The Up North News Daily Newsletter, you can get it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. And, of course, there's a lot of focus on cancer and screening throughout the month of February. And Christina Lorre has a story about kind of the world's toughest cancer to spot, and it's pancreatic cancer. And so she talks about signs and symptoms that you shouldn't miss. There's also the story about five early cancer warning signs that you shouldn't ignore. And a story there about President Donald Trump talking about Greenland and how you shouldn't get distracted by such stories. So all of that and more in our daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, well, unveiling his proposed 2025 state budget on Tuesday night, Governor Tony Evers called for the elimination of taxes on tips. He floated a new idea to encourage the freezing of local property taxes and putting the state's $4 billion surplus to work, helping families deal with a child care shortage, inflation, contaminated water, education challenges, safety issues, and so on. Obviously, Evers, as a former state superintendent of public instruction, talked about part of the reason that his next state budget needs to be as supportive of public education as it is to make up for years of shortchanging Wisconsin school kids.
Here's the truth. Our current system isn't working. Take the Mawson School District, for example. The fate of their school district is on the ballot today, and kids, parents, and educators will be holding their breath tonight to see if their schools will be saved. That's the reality become all too often. In 2024, we saw a historic number of school referendums on the ballot, and 169 of those referendums passed. Nearly 400 referendums passed in the last 4 years. So the good news is Wisconsinites have shown this legislature time and time again they support increasing investments in our public schools. The bad news is Wisconsinites had to raise their own property taxes to prove it. This system isn't sustainable. It creates winners and losers, haves and have-nots, but referendums are not inevitable. Wisconsinites wouldn't have to raise their own property taxes to keep school lights on and doors open if this legislature invested in K-12 education from the get-go. And the budget I'm announcing tonight proves we can both make the investments in our kids that we need to and hold the line on prevent property taxes from going up.
By the way, the referendum in Mauston that he referenced, that did pass, essentially saving the school district. No thanks to legislative Republicans hell-bent on squeezing public schools out of existence. The news was not as good in the Kenosha School District, where the referendum there failed and forces some very hard decisions in the Kenosha School District. The tax relief as proposed by Evers would include direct state payments to communities that don't raise their property taxes in order to help them avoid cuts in services.
I'm also providing nearly $2 billion in tax relief, including eliminating income tax on tips, and my plan invests in public education at every level while holding the line on property taxes. I'm announcing plans to stop price gouging on prescriptions and crack down on insurance companies for denying Wisconsinites medical bill claims. I also want to invest in fighting PFAS and lead and getting contaminants out of our land, service lines, bubblers, schools, homes, and child care centers for good. And we're going to keep fixing the darn roads and infrastructure, building more affordable housing, keeping our kids, families, and communities safe, and expanding high-speed internet. The budget I'm proposing balances our priorities of investing in our kids and needs that have been long neglected while providing real and sustainable tax relief and saving where we can.
All told, Evers is proposing nearly $2 billion in tax relief efforts, including the elimination of income taxes on tip income, eliminating the sales tax on over-the-counter medications, cutting taxes for homeowners, renters, veterans, and seniors, with an emphasis on the middle income brackets. Evers is proposing $80 million for school districts to hire literacy coaches, provide tutoring, and find other ways to improve reading scores statewide. He mentioned PFAS there as well, even though Republicans have refused to release $125 million from the last budget because too many Republicans wanted to let corporate polluters off the hook when it comes to cleanup costs and possible prosecution. The typical GOP response came from someone like Representative Amanda Nedwetsky, who said of raising test score standards for kids, quote, more money has not proven to improve outcomes. So I guess less will. Well, she's from Kenosha County, so I'm afraid she's going to find out the hard way for those kids. More after this. You're up north. Such a busy history lesson today that we've got some spillover. This was the number one song this day in 1983 by Patty Austin and James Ingram. But as I was wishing for Greg here, coming up, you're going to hear James Ingram. But wouldn't it be better if Michael McDonald sang it?
Yes.
It'd be great.
Come to me.
Just such a great classic adult contemporary song.
You're right.
Early 1980s.
What a wonderful genre title for what is evidently just some of the most boring music that ever existed.
Well, boring soft rock just doesn't have the same zing as adult contemporary.
Yeah.
So again, that was this day in 1983, which, again, I had to correct myself, not 32 years ago this week. 42 years ago this week. And for those folks following at home, and I know you care about this, my coffee is hot once again. This hot plate is amazing. Thank you. I feel so much better. Got one comment in from Facebook from Jody about our newsletter saying, where can I find out more information about pancreatic cancer? And obviously we referenced it in today's newsletter. Sign up at the website, upnorthnewswi.com. In the newsletter, the nice part about it is sometimes we will provide links to our own stories on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. But other times, there will be outside links to ways that stories were done elsewhere or directly from a source. So in this case, I can tell you that in the newsletter, there is a link there that says the signs and symptoms of pancreatic cancer. And what you get if you click on that link is it takes you directly to the Mayo Clinic page on pancreatic cancer. So obviously I'm not going to give you that whole web address. I'm just going to say, if you put in mayoclinic.org, you'll go to the homepage of mayoclinic.org, and then you click on the little magnifying glass to search, type in pancreatic cancer, and it takes you exactly to the page that Christina put in this morning's newsletter. Plenty of other good medical sites out there. This isn't a promo for Mayo Clinic, just where we happen to have the link for today's story on pancreatic cancer. So I hope that helps you out. And again, you can always get more in our daily newsletter, and I'm sure we'll be putting some stuff on the website as well. Getting back to the headline about Governor Evers delivering his budget address, and then that takes us into the other big story from yesterday, which would be the primary election. But I was mentioning at the end of the last segment, Republicans indicating that They've really learned nearly nothing from the pasting that they took last November when the gerrymandered maps were finally eliminated and their majority was shrunk down to something very narrow, and showing that they might want to be working more with this governor to get some bipartisan measures done. And yet, to look at their press releases, they acknowledge Evers' proposals for tax relief and water cleanup and literacy funding and more. And as I look through them, they just really couldn't spell out any kind of better alternative, only that they were against whatever Evers was proposing. It was basically blah, blah, liberal wish list, blah, blah, Joe Biden, blah, blah, entitlements, something, something, and not anything that competes with what the governor's proposing, idea for idea, especially when it comes to education. And as I mentioned, and as the governor mentioned in that soundbite earlier, there will again be many school referendums on the ballot on April 1st. There will also be a race for state superintendent of public instruction. And what we learned in the primary yesterday is that incumbent Jill Underley will advance to the April 1st election, along with charter schools advocate Brittany Kinzer. So voters are going to have a clear choice on April 1st. One, in Underley, is an unflinching advocate for public schools, willing to call out lawmakers for their efforts to torpedo public education. And another candidate whose supporters will want taxpayers to keep footing the bill for two parallel school systems in Wisconsin, a voucher school program that is out of control and threatening budgets around the state and, frankly, around the country. Now, coming in third was Stock Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright. He released a very gracious statement that said, in part, while our campaign did not advance, I'm grateful for the conversations I was able to have about the future of K-12 public education in Wisconsin. I got into this race because I believe that Wisconsin should always be at the forefront of innovation and excellence in public education. Our districts deserve better from the Department of Public Instruction because Wisconsin kids and communities deserve the absolute best from our schools. But now we do move on to the April 1st general election between Brittany Kinzer and Superintendent Jill Underley. And unfortunately, it means we're going to see a whole new wave of ads. I mean, we are already seeing a nauseous number of ads for the state Supreme Court race with Susan Crawford versus former Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Now it's going to be joined by a new wave of ads for the state superintendent race. And half of those ads are going to focus on just the worst extremes about public schools. I mean, look at the Supreme Court race. To look at the ads from Brad Schimmel, you'd think that Susan Crawford, when every rape case comes to her, she says, oh, you're a rapist? You should walk free. Go, go. Which, of course, is not how it works at all, but that's the impression Brad Schimmel wants to get you. You're going to get the same thing here from people who are supporting Brittany Kinzer, who are going to tell you whatever they can that makes you think that public schools are failing. This from the people whose sole purpose, it seems, is to undermine a quality public education for every child in Wisconsin, an education that is free from indoctrination, discrimination, and misinformation. Those are going to be the stakes come April 1st. Another news story from yesterday, vote in a van. Yes, you can. And this, again, is a holdover for the benefits for Wisconsin voters of electing Justice Janet Protasiewicz a couple of years ago, because the state Supreme Court, the four liberal justices there, upheld the ability of local communities to set up secure mobile voting sites as they see fit. It had been challenged in southeastern Wisconsin by somebody that said, well, because this is much like the Dropbox thing, you know, because Dropboxes were not specifically mentioned in state law, then apparently that meant they were banned. And the same goes for mobile voting sites. And the state Supreme Court justices, the four progressive ones, said that's not the case at all, that local officials have wide latitude to set up elections as they deem best, as long as they are secure. This case was brought by the group called Law Forward, and their staff counsel, Scott Thompson, argued the case in the Wisconsin Supreme Court last fall, and he put out this statement. In 2023, Law Forward, on behalf of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, successfully petitioned the Supreme Court to take this case on bypass. And they should have, because voting is not a privilege. It is a right. It is a fundamental right that must be protected. And full access to the ballot includes safe and secure absentee voting options. The suit was brought to attack the right to vote and equal protection under the Wisconsin Constitution. This case, Scott Thompson goes on to say, was yet another attempt to limit access to absentee voting. Wisconsin's black voters have faced historical barriers to the ballot box, and Block intervened to ensure that their voices are able to be heard. And this, by the way, is not an explicitly racial issue. In this particular case, it's one that could have helped disenfranchise black voters, but we certainly have seen the far right targeting voters of any stripe or color in cities, in Milwaukee, in Madison, Racine, Kenosha, Green Bay. And if you think that, well, that's all that we're ever going to see, then clearly you've never watched history long enough to know that, you know, the pendulum swings both ways. And do you really want to envision a time where there's a group from the left in power that would somehow find ways to disenfranchise conservative voters in rural areas? Why are we playing that tit-for-tat game when voting is a right that should be protected? And if there were widespread fraud, you would address it. But there's not. Of course, Elon Musk, again, spread the lie that there is when he came into the Supreme Court race supporting Brad Schimmel. But it is far more important that this Supreme Court stands up for the right to vote. Elon Musk also has claimed, and you may not have seen, if you don't watch any right-wing, you know, cable channels, you might not have heard about this, but if you pay any attention to the right-wing media, all you heard about yesterday was that Musk's minions found $4.7 trillion in untraceable payments, secret payments that nobody could account for. That's the real waste in government, $4.7 trillion in payments. It doesn't take much to look and go, why is my BS detector going off? And you can find, and I found here from a couple of folks who are actual auditors, who actually do work auditing for the taxpayer, for the government, explaining that what the Musk minions found wasn't anything like what they said it was. In fact, to take it a step further, here's a headline from the New York Times this morning. Doge claimed it saved $8 billion by canceling one contract. It was actually $8 million. There is also the headline that Trump or Musk or who's ever in charge there. Remember we mentioned the other day that they fired a bunch of people whose job it is to safeguard the nuclear stockpile? Well, yesterday's headline was about how the administration fired a bunch of workers only to discover afterwards that they help with response to bird flu outbreaks. And they are feverishly trying to hire these workers back in case there is a widespread outbreak of bird flu in the United States. This isn't some, you know, willy-nilly, little mistakes made for the greater good. No, this is incompetence. This is rank incompetence. It's ham-handedness at its worst, and they're doing it with our security, our nuclear security, our public health. They're playing with people's lives, literally, in other parts of the country and here at home. They have fired or caused the resignations of so many good people who just wanted to serve their country but are now apparently the deep state. Where do we go from here? Unless courts do something to stop these things, it's just going to continue to get worse. But those court orders then have to be enforced somehow. You know, judges and justices, they don't have their own police force that they can send in. And so as long as you have a president and members of Congress saying to the court system, yeah, you and what army? We're going to have some real problems here with the rule of law. And that's where I think this all comes back to us talking to our friends and neighbors, including the ones we don't normally agree with on a lot of things, and finding common ground on something like the rule of law and obeying court orders and playing by the rules. I would dare to say that while there are many Trump voters who are still apologists for what's been happening so far these past 4 weeks, that you probably are finding an increasing number of them saying, this is not the stuff that I voted for. I didn't vote for somebody who claims to have found $4.7 trillion in waste, which just happens to equate to the $4.7 trillion that they would have to find to pay to renew the Trump tax cuts from his first time in office. Those tax cuts blew a hole in the deficit of over $2 trillion. That was then, 2017. And they just want to rubber stamp it and put those tax cuts geared toward the wealthy back in effect for another nearly 10 years. And this time the price tag would be $4.7 trillion. They're not going to get there by firing a few workers who work on bird flu or guarding the national nuclear stockpile or presidential libraries. They're going to have to go after some things like Medicare, Social Security, and more, unless they're stopped. Melissa Kay joins us for today's history lesson right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, yeah. Smokey Robinson, it's his birthday today. We're kicking up. And where else will you hear a bassoon in rock and roll, you know?
Nowhere else.
Hear a tuba in hip-hop, though.
Really?
The Roots have a tuba player.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love the Roots. Yes, you're right.
I love the Roots.
I do. I don't hear them. I don't listen nearly enough, and I should. Melissa Kay is here from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm awake. I'm warm. You know, yeah. It's a lovely day.
We got a little Smokey. You know, when Smokey sings, that's always a good thing. You know that song, When Smokey Sings by ABC?
No, probably not.
Oh, okay. If you go, you'll hear that whole little bassoon thing from Tears of a Clown as the bass line underneath. It's very cool.
Okay, I'll check it out.
What's happening up there in Rapids world?
In Rapids, we had a big Common Council meeting last night. ATV, UTVs are not going to be allowed in the city still. Okay. And we are going to keep fluoride in our city drinking water.
Interesting. So, okay. Yes. All right. What do you know? Public health wins one now and then.
Yeah, they listened to the, you know, all of the experts because they all showed up.
See, that's the thing. If you don't show up, you know, it's weird things can happen. If we get nothing else done over our time with Civic Media and with Courier Newsroom, it's that civic engagement matters. You got to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you feel strongly
Make
about
your
something.
Your voice heard.
Yep. Let's see. Next on the birthday list is singer Lou Christie is 82 years old today. He was born this day in 1943, and then on this day in 1966, it was his 23rd birthday, and his song went to number one.
Listen to me, baby, you gotta understand.
Probably would have made more sense if I'd queued it up to the chorus there, but can you, Greg, you know the chorus, right? Can you get that high?
No.
I'll tell you what, while we wait for the chorus to hit, I'll tell you Thomas Edison patented the phonograph this day in 1878, and a whole lot of heroes in the United States Marine Corps landed on Iwo Jima. 30,000 Marines this day in 1945 in a landmark battle for control of that strategic location. Now, here's Luke Christie.
Actually, yeah, I can hit this because this is a what's the word I'm looking
falsetto.
For? Falsetto voice. It's basically okay. It's like the Bee Gees.
The medical waste buckets are filled with the vocal cords that other men have shredded trying to hit those notes.
What a visceral and graphic depiction of your point, Pat.
Thank you very much. Let's see. Austrian singer-songwriter, the late Falco, was born this day in 1957. He had two hits. He had Der Kommissar in 1981 and this one from 1985.
The 80s were so stupid.
Oh, my God. Such an earworm.
No, I say that with love. I love this song. But the video,
this is a perfect cleaning song, like to dance around in your kitchen while you're sweeping.
Clean me kitchen.
Let's see, another birthday today. That would be singer Seal is 62 years old today.
Only.
What?
I know, again, I should have queued this up to
no,
the chorus
you did.
Here. He also gave us a Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, yeah. Can we just take 4 seconds and talk about that truly disturbing Super Bowl ad with him?
Is that, I was gone on vacation. I didn't watch Super Bowl or any of the commercials, but they basically, yeah, they used AI to put him in, they put his face on a seal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I only saw like 2 seconds of that. That was very troubling.
For Mountain Dew as well. It was a Mountain Dew ad.
Mountain Dew hasn't had a good commercial in a long time. They tried too hard.
You need to go back to the mountains.
Nice.
Okay, here's I guess this isn't a falsetto, but it's pretty close. The number one song this week in 1972 was by Nilsson. It starts low.
But yeah. But it really like right
again,
now, it's like, oh, you can't live without
if
me.
If Lou Christie didn't blow out your vocal cords, this one might do it.
Now he's really convincing you.
Yep.
He's pounding at home.
That's right. Number one song for 4 weeks back in 1972. One more. Bruce Springsteen has only been at the top of the Hot 100 with one song that he wrote. And he didn't even sing that version that hit number one. It was Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
When I tell people that this is a Bruce Springsteen song, people are like, what?
Yep.
Same with Because of the Night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, you're getting some love here, Melissa, from the 80s. Adam writes in on YouTube, Safety Dance also makes a great cleaning song.
Woohoo! I'll look that up.
Maybe I'll do that today. I'll put together a playlist and clean the bedroom.
A playlist of Melissa's cleaning songs. I like this. Are you a mopper, just a sweeper?
Oh, I mean, I was professionally trained. I can do it all, baby.
Ooh, okay. I mean,
this day in history has gotten very weird, I must say.
Well, I mean,
very
we've got
weird.
Shredded vocal cords. We've got house cleaning music.
And a lot of oh yes from Melissa in very weird spaces. Like, oh, you know.
But we have strong teeth and bones in Wisconsin Rapids.
Happy birthday to the U.S. Coast Guard Reserve. This is National Airboat Day. So head down to the Everglades. Take that little airboat ride. This is Chocolate Mint Day. Ugh. That is a wonderful combination. Greg disagrees, clearly. Okay.
It depends, but we don't have time.
All right. And National Arabian Horse Day and National Tug of War Day. One of the most useless childhood activities I could imagine. But
aren't they bringing it back as an Olympic sport, though?
Are they really? Okay. Well, I guess I'll start training.
I'll only accept it if the losers get fed to, like, alligators.
Thank you, Melissa. Have a great day. Happy house cleaning. More after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.